Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. However, later in the program, you will have the opportunity to register to ask a question by pressing the star and one. Today's conference may be recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Greg Ayers. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and good afternoon. This is Greg Ayers, CFO of inContact. Welcome to our Q3 2015 conference call. I will begin the call with some prepared remarks, and I will then turn the call over to CEO Paul Jarman to review our third quarter results. Finally, I will provide additional detail on our financial results for the quarter before opening it up for Q&A. For access to our news release and other information about inContact, please visit our website at www.incontact.com. The purpose of today's call is to provide you with information regarding our third quarter 2015 results. Some of our discussion and responses to your questions may contain forward-looking statements, which are subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions. Should any of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should our assumptions prove to be incorrect, actual company results could differ materially from these forward-looking statements. These risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, as well as other information on potential risk factors that could affect our financial results, are included in our filings with the SEC, including our most recent report on Form 10-Q, particularly under the heading Risk Factors. During the call, we may offer incremental metrics to provide additional insight into our business or quarterly results. Please be advised this detail may be one time and may or may not be provided in the future. And now I'll turn the call over to Paul Jarman. Paul?
Thank you, Greg. And thank you to everyone joining our call this afternoon. I'm pleased to report that the company enjoyed an impressive third quarter on all fronts. Revenues for the quarter were at record levels. New business booked through both our direct sales force and our expanding partner channels also set new records. We made excellent progress in our efforts to improve margins and achieve efficiencies in our operations. Adjusted EBITDA of $4 million increased threefold from a year ago, and we will improve that in 2016. We continue to achieve great success in winning against our major competitors as market adoption of the cloud continues to accelerate. And as noted by many industry analysts, our complete contact center solution stands out as a market leader. In the third quarter, we increased software revenues by 40% to $36.7 million. Total revenues surpassed $56 million. Annualized recurring revenues for the last month of the quarter reached $145.6 million, 51% above last year. This newly introduced metric truly captures the growth momentum of our key software products. With this strong quarter behind us, we've raised our guidance for the full year, with software revenues now projected at $142 to $143 million. In the third quarter, we made great strides towards approaching non-GAAP profitability by the end of 2015. This is an important next step for inContact to demonstrate the path to profitability. Because of the strength of our software, the growth that we are achieving, as well as investments in streamlining our processes, we are creating efficiency across the company, even as we press forward, disrupting the outdated premise software players. We're pleased to report record bookings with 36% growth over Q3 2014. We added 137 new contracts, including 92 new logos and 45 from upsells to existing customers. We continue to win the majority of competitive opportunities and are outpacing our competitors with our reputation and in true cloud market share. The success and expansion of our partner channel is a key contributor to our growth strategy. We saw excellent bookings across all reseller types, including carriers, unified communication providers, and VARs. Our carrier partners have been strong contributors, and in this quarter, they brought in significant new customer wins and expansion deals in enterprise as well as state and local government. This was a near-record quarter from our combined carrier partners, who accounted for over 20% of bookings. We continue to build our channel partnerships with several unified communications partners, including RingCentral, who brought in over 20 new customers in Q3. One of our newer partners is ThinkingPhones, who unifies voice, text, and conferencing services on a single cloud platform and will resell the InContact Cloud Contact Center solution bundled with its cloud UC offering. Partnering with them will further our reach and give us enterprise-level presence in the communications marketplace with another established leader. Certain UC companies have recently acquired small software vendors to offer a combined PBX and Contact Center solution. Others have tried to internally develop Contact Center software in order to have a similar unified solution. In our view, these offerings fall well short of the capabilities that we provide with our UC partners and that customers are demanding in an environment of omni-channel support. We have deliberately pursued strategic partnerships with the most highly qualified and fastest-growing UC companies. Both enterprise and SMB customers are thus able to reap the benefits of all-inclusive pricing and proven integration with the UC solution. We have also been steadily adding new VARs to our channel program, which further expands our reach into different industries and market segments. In Q3, VARs contributed both in overall bookings as well as new implementations, and we're convinced many of the VARs that are critical to Optivity's success to introduce our complete suite of products to the growing portion of their customer base interested in a cloud-based offering. We have executed very well this year with growing and diversifying our distribution channel. These go-to market partners are a distinct competitive advantage for us, expanding our reach and our leadership advantage. And frankly, we're just getting started. We have a significant market presence through our partners, and this will propel our growth in 2016. Our direct sales group, including quota-carrying reps, sales engineers, inside sales reps, and product specialists, have been a major contributor to our new business efforts in 2015. Here are two examples in the retail space. A rapidly expanding e-commerce company selected InContact because of our proven speed to implementation, overall flexibility and scalability. Initially, this new customer deployed 650 agents, but its aggressive growth plan includes the opening of a 3,000-agent contact center in the Philippines next year, while also tripling their number of domestic agents. This customer is a good example of why we track ARR versus our traditional bookings model. Our bookings model would account for only the initial 650 agents. As this customer expands, our revenues expand without additional reported bookings. A national retailer with over 1,000 stores and a thriving online presence is moving over 200 contact center agents from an outdated on-premise solution to InContact's cloud solution. In addition to our core customer interaction platform, this new customer is also implementing Personal Connection Outbound Dialer, Workforce Management, and the InContact Agent for Salesforce app. This deal was competitive against other cloud players. We won because of the breadth and depth of our platform, our proven scalability, and our expertise in voice and connectivity. Now I'd like to talk about two major events that happened in September, Dreamforce 2015 and our own InContact User Conference. At Dreamforce this year, we had a tremendous success bringing in more than double the number of leads from last year. Beyond lead generation, we had numerous meetings with prospects, customers, media, and analysts. We made an exclusive presentation to the entire Salesforce Service Cloud overlay team to discuss our joint development roadmap. One of our customers, Arizona State University, presented a case study about the success they are having with inContact. Our partnership with Salesforce is a significant factor for winning deals and for our continuing growth. Service Cloud has grown nearly 39% this year. Major customers and prospects are excited about how we are working with Salesforce and how closely we are developing our platform to work seamlessly with the CRM. We now have a significant number of joint customers, and we will aggressively grow our partnership with Salesforce in 2016. In late September, we held our 11th annual user conference, ICUC, here in Salt Lake City. At the conference, we had customers, partners, and industry experts talking about the large-scale shift that is underway in how companies interact with their existing customers and prospects. Companies of all sizes are competing for customers like never before, and that underscores the importance of the advanced solution that inContact provides. We are helping companies to achieve their business goals, and as have many examples of customers who are big advocates because they are doing just that, including Columbia Sportswear, Dyson, and HoverRound as some of the latest success stories. As an example, HoverRound Corporation has achieved some dramatic results with the inContact personal connection no-pause outbound dialer. HoverRound's connection rate to customers went from 19% to 46% and drove a 116% increase in completed applications per day. In conjunction with our user conference, we announced our latest 2015 fall software update, the inContact Cloud Customer Interaction Platform. With every release, we bring more advanced features into the cloud with omnichannel routing, workforce optimization, and analytics. One of the most exciting features in this release is a new agent interface called inContact Max, which stands for My Agent Experience. Over the last 18 months, we worked with Frog Design, one of the leading industrial and digital design firms in the world, to craft a modern user interface that improves agent experience and efficiency. inContact Max enables context-aware and efficient handling of all contact center interactions, regardless of channel. Other notable features from this release include a new supervisor interface, enhanced compliance tools for personal connection outbound dialing, and a new gateway for Microsoft Link Skype for Business. In Q3, we also announced that we have achieved the payment card industry's highest level of security compliance with PCI Level 1 certification, which is the only multi-tenant contact center solution in the market that is Level 1 compliant. We also introduced inContact Voice as a Service that builds on our unique strength as the only contact center provider that has a global carrier-grade network. Even though multi-channel service is growing, voice is still a critical channel, especially when the stakes are high. And customers are reaching out to a customer service representative. Our voice as a service offering is second to none in the industry because we have more connectivity options than any other competitor, and we provide the best voice quality of any cloud player. As part of the complete solution, we are publicly disclosing our quality score as measured by industry standard benchmarks. inContact's average score for the last 6 weeks indicates better than very good voice quality. In early 2016, we expect to provide individual voice quality scores for each customer. This is something that no one else in the market is providing. I would like to now highlight some important recognition that we have received from leading industry analysts. We recently hosted 9 key industry analysts for a full-day seminar that included platform and roadmap details. as well as a panel discussion with four of our customers. The response to our first Analyst Day event has been very positive and helps us build industry credibility and third-party recommendations. Having key contact center analysts now reporting on the cloud is an important indicator of the growth and widespread interest in the cloud market among companies of all sizes and in all verticals. I'm pleased to tell you that we have been recently recognized as a market leader in three important analyst reports. In Gartner's inaugural Magic Quadrant for Contact Center as a Service, InContact was placed in the leader quadrant with high ratings in both ability to execute and completeness of vision. Second is Ovum, which recognized InContact as a market leader in the Ovum decision matrix, with top scores in technology, ease of implementation, and customer satisfaction. And the third, Frost & Sullivan, is recognized InContact with the 2015 Customer Value Leadership Award for the contact center industry. This award is significant to us because it's given once a year to a company that consistently deepens customer relationships with superior products and services and that delivers a clear and demonstrable ROI. Proven results matter. Our advanced cloud technology coupled with the proven ability to grow our market share consistently is now being recognized by industry analysts. In summary, we hit on all cylinders this quarter. Our financial performance demonstrates a strong ability to execute and the strength of our business model. Our software revenues grew 40% and new business activity was at record levels. We demonstrated significant operating leverage with substantial improvements in gross margin and adjusted EBITDA. With our Q3 results, we are confident that we will generate non-GAAP operating income in Q4 and for the full year in 2016. In addition to strong financials, we are winning with our go-to-market strategy and highly diversified reseller channel, our advanced technology and expert service model, strong recognition in the industry, and ultimately with growing numbers of very satisfied customers. This level of overall performance heightens our confidence in our continuing strong growth as well as our ability to increase our leverage and operational efficiencies in the fourth quarter and into 2016. Now I'll turn the time over to Greg.
Thank you, Paul. We achieved very strong results in the third quarter, and now I will provide more details about the financial performance. The financial results I will discuss are presented on both a GAAP and non-GAAP basis. However, all revenue figures are GAAP. At this point, I would also like to remind everyone of the safe harbor statement made at the beginning of the call. First, let's look at the software segment, which includes all revenue related to the delivery of our software application and associated professional services. For Q3 2015, I'm happy to report that software segment revenue increased to $36.7 million, a 40% increase over last year's $26.3 million. In Q3, we did not recognize any guaranteed revenue from our partnership with Unified, compared to $400,000 of such revenues in Q3 2014. Excluding the Unified guarantees, our software revenues grew 42%. Annualized monthly recurring revenues at the end of the third quarter totaled $145.5 million, a 51% increase over the $96.6 million level for ARR 1 year ago. I'd note that ARR increased by roughly $22 million sequentially in the third quarter, despite the weaker-than-expected performance for bookings in the second quarter of this year. Annualized monthly recurring revenue equals recurring software revenue for the last month of the quarter multiplied by 12. Recurring software revenue includes all subscription software revenues, maintenance revenues from customers that previously purchased Optivity's WFO software on a license basis, and professional service revenues that we recognize ratably over a 50-month period. It excludes license sales of our WFO software and the related professional services revenues, and, of course, all revenues associated with our network connectivity segment. We believe the ARR metric is the best measure of the success of the company's growth initiatives and our focus on subscription revenues. It incorporates all components of revenue, existing accounts, new accounts, growth in the number of seats at all existing accounts, additional services implemented at the existing accounts, and net attrition into one metric. Each of these components were important contributors to the growth in ARR for the third quarter. Bookings, as measured by annual contract value, or ACV, grew 36% over levels recorded in Q3 of last year. We will continue to report the year-over-year growth rate for bookings in 2015, but do not intend to disclose that metric beyond the current year. As Paul noted, we closed 137 new contracts in the quarter, including 92 new logos and 45 upsells to existing accounts. Our software revenue retention rate, which excludes upsells, remained above 93% in Q3. Q3 2015 software segment gross margin increased substantially to 59.6% compared to 54.3% a year ago. Excluding non-cash charges, software gross margin was up 300 basis points to 72.7% compared to 69.7% a year ago. GAAP and non-GAAP gross margins benefited during the period from revenue increases attributable to higher seat volume, as well as leverage in customer service, implementation, and depreciation expenses. We believe this level of improvement in gross margin is sustainable going forward. Our second segment is network connectivity, which includes all communication services provided to our software customers, as well as to legacy telco clients. Network connectivity segment revenue for Q3 2015 was $19.4 million, an 8.1% increase over the $17.9 million in Q3 of last year. Gross margin for the network connectivity segment was 36.6% in Q3, off 20 basis points from 36.8% in Q3 of 2014. Operating margin for this segment was a robust 26% in Q3, a slight decrease from the 27% in Q3 of 2014. The prior year amount benefited from the reversal of a bad debt expense. With the exception of accounts sold by telecom-based channel partners such as Verizon and RingCentral, contact center prospects typically request that we provide their connectivity services, and this is a distinct competitive advantage for InContact. We believe our global, geographically redundant carrier class network, providing both TDM and VoIP connectivity, results in superior call quality. Recently, we've quantified this qualitative advantage by publishing our MOS scores, a standard of measure of call quality used throughout the telephony industry. MOS scores for individual accounts will be available in early 2016. Consolidated revenue for Q3 increased to $56.1 million, a 27% increase from last year's $44.2 million. GAAP consolidated margin was 51.7%, up from 47.2% a year ago. Excluding non-cash charges, consolidated gross margin increased to 60.4%, up from 56.7% last year. All of the improvement in consolidated gross margin was attributable to our software segment. Total operating expenses were $32.9 million in Q3, a 20% increase from Q3 2014 levels of $27.4 million. Sales and marketing expenditures equaled 32% of total revenues, a slight increase from the 31% level of the previous year. R&D spending rose 16% and was equal to 13% of revenues, in line with recent quarters. In the third quarter, G&A spending was only 3% above the Q3 2014 amount, falling to 14% of total revenues. This is a drop of almost 300 basis points from year earlier levels. On a sequential basis, G&A expenses were actually down $1.1 million. We are seeing some of the benefits of our program to increase efficiencies in customer onboarding and back office operations. Operating loss for Q3 was $3.9 million, a decline of 40% from the operating loss of $6.5 million in Q3 of 2014. On a non-GAAP basis, the operating loss for Q3 was $426,000 compared to $2.5 million in Q3 of 2014, an improvement of $2.1 million. Adjusted EBITDA, a non-GAAP measure, is an important metric of our operating results due to the significant amount of depreciation and amortization resulting from the acquisitions of software, customer bases, and network technology, as well as the amortization of capitalized software development costs and stock-based comp. Adjusted EBITDA was $4 million for Q3, substantially greater than the $1 million recorded in Q3 of 2014. Adding back purchase price adjustments related to our acquisition of Optivity, adjusted EBITDA in Q3 of last year would have been $2.3 million, so it was still a very large increase. On a sequential basis, adjusted EBITDA increased by roughly $2.6 million. This was our 15th consecutive quarter with positive adjusted EBITDA. At quarter end, we had $31.2 million in cash and cash equivalents, $76 million in short-term investments, and access to an additional $15 million under our line of credit. Recall that in March, we completed the sale of $115 million of 2.5% 7-year convertible notes, convertible at $14.23 a share. Turning now to updated guidance for 2015, I would like to remind everyone of the Safe Harbor statement at the beginning of today's call. Based on the strong software revenue results we've achieved year-to-date, we're raising our guidance for the full year. In 2015, we anticipate consolidated revenues to be between $218 and $220 million. We expect total software revenues to be between $142 and $143 million for the full year. This represents a 41 to 42% growth rate for software revenues. We expect adjusted EBITDA will be between $11.5 and $12 million compared to our previous range of $8 to $9 million. For EPS on a GAAP basis, we estimate a net loss of 40 to 43 cents a share in 2015. On a non-GAAP basis, we expect a net loss of 18 to 20 cents per share for the full year. We'll provide more comprehensive guidance for 2016 when we report full year results in a few months. On a preliminary basis, we're going to provide top line guidance for next year at this time. We anticipate total revenues in a range of $254 to $262 million, with software revenues in the range of $175 to $182 million, for the full year. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to register to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star then one on your touch-tone phone. At any time, if you found that your question has already been answered, you may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, it is star then one to register to ask a question. We'll go first to John DiFucci with Jefferies. Your line is open.
Hi, this is AJ Lubich on for John. Thanks for taking our questions and congrats on a very strong quarter. First off, can you provide an estimate of how much license revenue you received in the quarter? And as a related question, can you please update us on where you are in the process of transitioning your in-house WFO to a true multi-tenant model?
Yeah, so first of all, we don't provide any license revenue guidance. What we do provide, though, is that on the year-over-year basis, we increased our bookings number by 36%, and that's an annual number, so it doesn't accumulate a lot of different licensing in it.
Okay, thanks. And just one quick follow-up. We understand that you guys don't receive network connectivity revenue as an attach for sales through carrier partners like Verizon or RingCentral. As you increase the breadth and the depth of these partnerships, do you have a longer-term view of how network connectivity is going to trend, either in terms of actual growth or as a percentage of software revenue?
Yeah, so what you said is correct. So when we look at the amount of new business we get from carriers, from UC providers, and also the growth of our workforce optimization revenue, those three areas don't attach additional telecom revenue. So that growth is really going to be low single digits as a total versus previous years.
Great. Thank you very much.
And we'll go next to Catherine Egbert with Piper Jaffray. Your line is open.
Thanks. This is Kevin Kumar in for Catherine. There was a record number of closed contracts this quarter at 137. Just wondering how many of those were partner-driven?
You know, about half came through partners, and so about 50-50.
And how's the average selling price holding up, just given the, you know, the mix towards kind of partner-led deals?
The actual, you know, our discount structure and our value per deal is very good. The only thing I would add to that, though, is the more we sell through partners, we're going to get the net benefit of the sell, meaning that if the retail value was 100 and the what we sell through the partner is, let's say, 60, we would record the 60. So the size of customers are getting bigger, the number of deals and amount of deals are getting bigger, and then a portion of our revenue or bookings comes through where we get the whole revenue, and a portion comes in net because it comes through a partner. So if that makes sense to you, but that's how it works today.
Yep, got it. And did you close both deals that caused the bookings weakness in the second quarter?
Okay, so we closed one of those two deals, and the other deal is a customer that we already have over 1,000 seats with, and we expect to continue to get additional business from them over the next quarters to next year.
Got it. Great. And the last question for me is, you had a nice boost in operating margin. Do you still expect operating loss to contract in the Q4, and then any color on margins for 2016?
So as you look at what I mentioned in my commentary is that we believe we'd be non-GAAP profitable in Q4, which obviously shows additional progress. And then, you know, Greg updated the EBITDA guidance, which showed that as well.
Great. Thank you.
And we'll go next to Jeff Van Rhee with Craig-Hallum. Your line is open.
Great. Thank you. Congrats, guys. Great quarter here. A number of questions for me. Just maybe, Paul, at a high level, if you could start with Salesforce. I mean, you've had a relationship for a long time. You know, it has not gotten traction in the past. You've done a lot of work to build better and better connectors over time, and it sounds like, as you called it out on this call, you really see something different going on there. Maybe you could expand on that.
You bet. So Jeff, the first thing is that Salesforce is growing their service cloud. That's a much more relevant division to us than some of the others. And so, as I mentioned, they grew that division by 39%. And that growth is making their product and our product more relevant. The second thing that's happening is that division is also starting to win larger and larger deals, which plays into, you know, our strengths of providing enterprise quality solutions. I mean, we now have 110 of the Fortune 500 or Global 2000, so we play very well there. And then I'd say thirdly is we've spent a lot of time in the last 12 months adding a lot of innovation in how the two of us connect together and how we help them in our roadmap and their roadmap work together. And so I think those combined factors are what's helping us in that area.
Yeah, got it. Certainly, I mean, good to see, you know, Ring is off to a great start, Thinking Phones, Jive. So I guess the question I had is just as you think about the channel percent of mix in 15 and 16, how do you think of that shifting?
You know, we would like to continue to see that close to 50-50. And so, you know, obviously our direct model that's supported by the referral combined with our different reseller models, we're pushing on both levers and driving both at the same time.
Yeah. And Greg, just a couple quick ones for you. On the 15 guide, I mean, obviously you're taking EBITDA notably, but the GAAP EPS looks like it's down a tad. What's the delta in there?
I don't think it's down, Jeff.
Wasn't the GAAP loss guide 38 to 42 previous, and now it's 41 to 43?
38. Yeah, so it probably is just a bit of rounding there or the estimate with regard to the number of shares outstanding. But it shouldn't have changed if it has numerically.
Okay, I'll save that and see if we can touch on that offline. And then on gross margins for software, I mean, you know, obviously you're guiding to some leverage. It's been one of the things people have been asking for a while. You know, to get to non-GAAP profitability in Q4 is a great milestone for the company. As you look at software gross margins in particular, I think you touched on it, but maybe could you just expand a little bit more? How should we think about where software margins can go over time? How much room to expand do you see there?
Well, so again, we don't want to really establish any guidance with regard to gross margins specifically in 16, but I think obviously that we would look to continue to leverage our investments in network operations, customer service. We have been able to attract a larger group of system integrators that will do professional service implementation for us, which is obviously a lower margin. So the fact that they're doing that will help us. So it's a number of different initiatives that all would contribute to an improved software and consolidated gross margin going forward in Q4 and into 16.
Okay. And I guess just one more if I could. On the partner front, you know, obviously you're adding some pretty good names here. What does the pipeline look for additional partners beyond here? Maybe you could give some sort of qualitative commentary around that and where those partners land in the general ecosystem. Thanks, guys.
You bet. So, you know, we have team members that are both, helping the ones that we've just closed to get them to bookings and revenue. And we have other people that are working with additional new partners. We see opportunities with carriers. We see opportunities with additional VARs. We see opportunities with additional UC providers and also with additional referral partners. So we actually have activities in recruiting and signing in all four of those areas, and also a lot of activities in taking the ones we've recently signed into bookings and revenue. So I would just say, Jeff, expect us to continue to add them and expect us to continue to leverage the ones that we have.
Sounds good. Great. Thanks, guys.
And we'll go next to Mike Lattimore with Northland Capital. Your line is open.
Great, thanks. Yeah, great quarter as well. On the new ARR number, I guess is there going to be any natural seasonality there where, you know, certain quarters would have more sequential growth than others, or is there not going to be any discernible kind of seasonal pattern there?
Because it's year over year, it should incorporate any concept of seasonality because you're comparing the same quarter. The one thing I would add is that when you look at it this quarter, there's some non-GAAP revenue from a year ago that makes this a little different. So we recorded GAAP to GAAP 51%. If you go GAAP this year to non-GAAP last year, it'd be 46. So that's the only aberration we've seen. Otherwise, it should be pretty consistent year over year.
I guess the seasonal or the sequential growth was over 20% in the third quarter, and it was, or 20 million, I'm sorry, and then it was, you know, 3.5 in the second quarter. So I guess I was thinking more about that kind of sequential change. Is there any kind of seasonality to that?
Now, really, that comes from the strength of new business. I mean, because you're comparing again the same quarter, so that's really coming from, you know, growth of recent contracts that we've signed, growth even outside of the bookings numbers that we've given. You know, that really came from the growth of new customers and new revenue.
Yeah. And how about on the just deployment time frames here? Have they normalized at a certain level, or are they improving, or are they elongating? Just how are deployments going?
So first of all, about 25% of our deployments now are coming through third parties, and they've normalized. Easier deals are a month or two, harder deals are 3 or 4 months. It's all just a function of the complexity of the turn up, the number of departments or divisions, and the number of products. So we're fully staffed between us and our partners to support the new business that we're bringing on.
And obviously a lot of focus on big deals, but how are the activity levels, business patterns, for kind of the under 100 seat deals, let's say. Is that kind of on a normal trajectory, accelerating, slowing?
You know what? It's been a nice growth area for us this year. You know, some of the UC providers or partners that we have will help support us in that area as well, because they're bringing in new opportunities that we wouldn't have normally gotten. So we see good strength in that small to mid, and we had also a very good quarter in the larger deals as well.
And it looks like the Ring Central related deals doubled sequentially, I believe, in terms of just deals count. Are the size of those deals getting any bigger, or are they similar at this point?
You know, we saw some good deals from them. I mean, we don't really comment individually on these partners as per our agreements, but I would just say it's mostly mid-market focused, but we saw some nice deals come from them.
Mm-hmm. Great. And just last question. The e-commerce retailer you highlighted, I think you talked about the 3,000-seat potential expansion in the Philippines. Did you also say that you could triple the number of domestic agents there as well?
That's correct. So this is just a very high-growth company, and you know, we'll be there to support them on all their growth mm-hmm. initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks a lot.
And we'll go next to Brian Schwartz with Oppenheimer. Your line is open.
Oh, great. Hi, this is Koji Keta for Brian Schwartz, and thank you for taking my questions, and congratulations on the quarter. I was hoping maybe we could take a step back a little bit, and I wanted to hopefully get some commentary on the demand environment, the contact center industry, and maybe the unified communications industry as a whole for cloud services. When we were talking to customers and partners at your conference this year, we noticed a change in their tone versus prior years, where in the prior years, cloud services had to be more evangelized by the seller. But this year, it was really notable that they were saying that their customers are taking a more of a cloud-first mentality. Could you maybe give some commentary if this is the same kind of dynamic that you're seeing your end as a whole?
You bet. So, yes, you're right. I mean, what's happening is that, you know, first of all, at the top level, more and more companies are struggling with the quality of their customer experience. And with the dynamic changing in technologies that's happening right now. And secondly, more and more of them have had other good cloud experiences through other verticals. So they're more willing to go to the cloud. And then third, you know, companies like ourselves with, you know, over 110 of the Fortune 500 are very credible options for them to go to. And so we're seeing better interest and less, I'd say, evangelism in the sales process to get them to the cloud. And you see that also through having the 9 analysts there. You see having a lot of analyst reports coming out in our sector, and just a lot of interest in that area. So I would say yes, it's getting easier to sell in the cloud. And we're, frankly, as companies like ourselves, are becoming much more competent in how we can solve both SMB, mid-market, and enterprise solutions, or giving them great options.
Great, thanks. And then at the conference, you also introduced several new products and software enhancements, especially that new user interface, Max, where we were talking with customers, and we actually had some great feedback from them regarding it. Going forward, maybe could you comment on which of those new enhancements or products you see as near-term potential ARPU lifters?
You bet. So first of all, the Max, what's important about Max is it truly transforms our user interfaces from what would have been in the past more voice-centric to now truly omni-channel, where that agent can effectively do email and chat and text and voice and other channels as they come in a far more effective fashion. So that enhanced really our entire platform. We don't charge extra for it, but it certainly supports us charging more for the whole product as we sell it. Voice as a service also really supports the quality of the offering, though we don't charge extra for it. We did other enhancements in performance management, which we get additional charges for. We've done other enhancements in other areas that support our price points. And so really, we've also discounted less, frankly, in the last couple of quarters. And that's been good as well. So, you know, some pieces of this we charge a little more for. Some pieces of this just support the entire product. But we are also picking up additional services that we can now upsell and cross-sell across the base as well. And as you look at our roadmap going forward, it's combined in both things that enhance the core and things that add additional upsell, cross-sell revenue to our base.
Great, thanks. That's all for me, and congrats again on the quarter.
Thank you, and we'll go next to Eric Martinuzzi with Lake Street Capital. Your line is open.
Thanks. My congratulations as well on a strong quarter and guide. Curious about competitors, competitive landscape. Just wanting to know, I understand, obviously, the growth rate that you guys are putting up, you're taking share, but competitors don't go quietly. Curious to know if you've seen any change in responses to maybe some competitive deals in Q3, either unnatural acts by on-premise competitors or maybe some frozen cycles by prospects as they evaluated other contact center and the cloud offerings.
You know, so really you think of two types of competitors. You think of the traditional premise competitors such as an Avaya or a Cisco. You know, one thing that's interesting, which will help us, is as you look at the new Gartner Magic Quadrant, they weren't included as cloud options. And so that delineation is very helpful to us as it proves out really there's a new set of cloud companies that are different than the legacy. You know, we expect to continue to get competitive environments and competitive deals. Our win rates are very good for the quarter. We really haven't seen the interactive new product yet in the market. We've held our own very well against the other ones we compete with that are more pure play. And I think what we are seeing is it's getting easier in a lot of ways to take business from the Avaya or other legacy players that don't really have a good alternative to either prem or hosted single instance today in the market.
Okay, and then with regard to the growth of 2016 on the software side, the guidance talks to a 25% number. Curious to know, just headcount-wise, you guys have done at least a preliminary level of planning here. What's the headcount today at InContact, and what is it a year from now?
You know, so we have about 1,000 employees, and you know, what I would say basically is this, is that our headcount will not grow as fast as our growth rate. We're getting to a point where we have enough scale, enough people, and we're doing enough work on automation of processes where, you know, that's an area as we grow, we will need less headcount as a percent of new business or of revenue. And you'll find that that will be some of the leverage for us as we gain additional you know, non-GAAP operating income.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And there are no further questions at this time.
Well, we'd like to thank everybody for your time today. We're winning in this cloud market. You're seeing nice growth from us. Some great leverage coming out of our model, and we're excited about what really is an untapped, large, addressable market where we feel we have a leadership position in, and we're excited for 2016 and for the fourth quarter of 15, and we appreciate your time on the call today, and have a great day.
And thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's program. We certainly do appreciate everyone's participation. You may disconnect at any time.